Welcome to the Baby Weight Podcast, brought to you by Omaha Better Birth Project. Omaha Better Birth Project is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to decrease inequities in childbirth by providing access to doula services, childbirth education, and prenatal and postpartum support for low-income and teen families. Find out more about Omaha Better Birth Project online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Sam and Emily, and today we are joined by a friend of ours, Mary Claire, and she is here to share the first of two of her birth stories.
Welcome, Mary Claire. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are so excited to have you and have you share your birth experiences with us. So let us know a little about you and your first birth experience. How were you feeling leading up to that birth?
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so elated to be here. And I mean, I think like you guys and probably everybody listening, we could all talk about birth for like 25 years. So Let's get into it. My first birth was 14 years ago. My daughter's 13 and a half now. And So I was in my very, very early 20s. And I had begun teaching yoga. I had practiced yoga for a really long time, like since I was 12, but my full-time job was as a dance teacher. And so I was teaching dance every night from like 3 until 10 p.m. And I think back to that pregnancy and I mean, I was doing like leg grab extensions and like turns and split. I mean, just like
a
22-year-old would be pregnant. And with my, you know, this current pregnancy and my last pregnancy, I look back and I was like, wow, that was a different experience. My first daughter was a total just surprise gift from heaven, from the universe, from God. And I really didn't know exactly what to do, except that I had dreamed my whole life of being a mom. So I knew that I was exactly where I meant to be. My aunt Sarah had been a doula for like 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay. I know. How lucky did I get?
Yeah, definitely.
What a blessing to have someone hold your hand at that time.
Being
so young and kind of unaware. But she gave me Ina May's Guide to Natural Childbirth.
Yeah, good read. Good read.
Y'all.
Sometimes. It's so good. It's so good.
It's so good. I have to just like tangent. I literally had a new dental hygienist 2 months ago, and she had a pretty tough first birth, but her second birth, she birthed at home on accident, unintentionally. And I was like, have you read Ina May Gaskin? And she was like, no. Literally ordered it from the local bookstore, picked it up, and drove it back to the dentist's office like 4 days later.
Everybody needs a copy of that book.
It should be required reading for probably like high schoolers. I mean, if we're being honest.
Right.
I entered my first pregnancy very like wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and honestly pretty scared. I mean, I remember not being scared of birth and delivery. And I think that's because my mom had really good deliveries with all three of us. I have two little sisters and really spoke so beautifully about birth.
That can make such a difference, such a difference when you can hear those things and it becomes normal. You know, you hear, especially if they have, you know, great experiences, you go, wow, that's how it's supposed to happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, paying out of pocket. So I met my midwife, Jenna Stauffer, who's my midwife to this day. Mm-hmm. And she also was, you know, my angel during that time. Do you guys have that like spot or space in your life where you like have those like snotty cries, like where you're like, stop, right?
Yes.
So I remember two times during that pregnancy I was in my car and it was like on my steering wheel, and I'll never forget what it felt like to like hold my steering wheel, have this huge pregnant belly, like forehead sobbing, you know, but then it's just like that inner power goes, this is what you're meant to do. This is what we are meant to do. So like it, get in touch with that and let's go.
Yeah. Yes. Did you take any, like official childbirth education courses? I'm assuming, was your aunt your doula then too?
Yes. So my aunt was my doula, and, we met officially, you know, obviously we're family, so we see each other all the time, but, just, you know, a few times before the actual delivery. Mm-hmm. And, the only official childbirth class I took at that time was through the hospital,
okay.
Which,
that's an episode in itself.
Talking about that, we need to schedule another podcast about. You know, the internet wasn't like it is now, with incredible resources and groups and childbirth education classes and all. I mean, it was just so, so different. And, you know, that being said, there was a gift in me not really knowing and just having to truly trust my, you know, inner self.
Yes. So you delivered in the hospital, right?
Yes. So, okay. I, you know, looking back, I probably started having contractions. My pregnancy was very healthy, very, you know, normal. I had morning sickness for like, you know, 20 weeks or something, but it was not ever like the, you know, really hard morning sick, just general nausea. And I actually didn't know I was pregnant until like probably 12 weeks. I traveled a lot. And so I kept just telling myself like, you're tired, you got a bug, that, you know, all the things as a 22-year-old you would tell yourself.
right.
And then I hugged someone on a trip, and I was like, oh no, are you pregnant? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. I'm definitely not. There's no way.
No way.
Yes. So the pregnancy overall was just such a gift. Very, very healthy. And the days before I went into labor, I was at a dance competition with my kiddos and the kids I taught, and I was frustrated and miserable and just so, you know, the way it goes, you're pissed at life.
Yeah.
Probably like maybe 4 or 5 days past the due estimation at that time. And then following day was Monday started. And I felt clear. I was like, you know what? If they need to induce me, which I really didn't want, but they were going to do it on Valentine's Day. And I thought, like, that's cute, you know, like that'll be fine. So that day, I just kind of a normal day. I had taken it off of work. So I just kind of putzed around the house. And I remember probably around 8 p.m., I started feeling rushes. I had made dinner, and my kiddo's bio dad at that time, we had dinner. It was like, you know, spaghetti and candlelight and very like peaceful and loving.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We went on a walk around our apartment complex, even though it was pretty chilly. And I sat on a birth ball at our like apartment complex exercise room.
Right.
And you know, you never forget like what's on TV, and there was like a dog show competition on TV, right? Like you never forget what you were listening or like what was on. So then I FaceTimed my mom. Okay. So this was literally the year that FaceTime landed on computers. Okay. Uh-huh. Before this, not, she was in Arizona. And I remember I was talking to her on the computer like this, and literally every time a rush would come, I would like lean away from the camera, rush, and then I'd come back. I had no idea I was in labor. I was literally just like, this is just a false alarm, you know, and I just didn't want her to worry. So get off the phone, FaceTime with her, and then I got in our bath, and I lit candles again, and the rushes were getting more intense. And I had my partner at the time start to read some of the birth stories out of.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Looking back, I was like, good job, girl. Like, you really, like, knew what you were doing without knowing what you were doing. It's that intuition and the wisdom. And so, you know, par for the course, believe it or not, he actually lit his pants on fire on one of the candles. What? Yeah. Like, I'm, you know, having rushes probably every, like, I mean, probably every 5 minutes at this point. He, like, goes to the kitchen to, you know, decides to feed the dog, spills the entire bag of dog food all over the kitchen floor. Like, and it was a, you know, sequence of comedic events for sure.
Yeah, he was a nervous Nelly. Yeah.
And I called my Aunt Sarah. It's, I think it's like 11:15 at this time. And I'm having rushes and I'm still like, this is a false alarm. Everyone has one. And she was like, you know, I think it's been so consistent for like 3 hours. You should probably go to the hospital. I'm going to drive up and meet you. If it's a false alarm, they'll send you home. And at that time, they really would. So we go to the hospital and the drive was that classic, really tough drive. You know, you're right? You know what that's like. It's, you're kind of not trapped, but it's like in a moving vehicle. And in yoga, we often talk about like when you're in a car, it really stimulates the wind energy in you, which is like a very like ungrounded energy. Okay. And as we know, like we need to birth in caves.
Yes, exactly.
So the opposite of that, I birthed at the Old Methodist. So if you're familiar with Omaha, it's, you know, yep. we went in and again, got on the service elevator chat with the janitor as I'm like dancing with my partner in the service elevator, get tucked in and my Aunt Sarah meets us there in time. And, you know, she was like feeding me ice chips at that time, which was really lovely. And the nurse, this was literally, I'm talking clipboards and pieces of paper. We were not entering things into computers at this time.
Right.
This is like, what's your address? How long have you lived there? Who's your care provider? Oh, what's their phone number? And I'm like, you know, three, four minutes apart at this time.
Yeah.
Finally get into our delivery room at midnight. Get all checked in and get into our delivery. And immediately I wanted to get in the tub. So I got in the tub and I labored in there for probably 90 minutes.
Was that like the most helpful pain management thing you had?
Yeah. And it really, I have to be honest with you, I have this inner sense of like literally going to sleep, passing out in between rushes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no talking to me. There is no, how is this feeling? Do you want to change positions? It is just like eyeballs in the contraction and then done. Like out.
Yep.
And I really attribute that to my yoga practice of the ability to just like drop in, you know? Even all those years ago, but that was really how the next 90 minutes was. I remember my Aunt Sarah, my doula, her eyes are like crystal blue, almost hazel. They're just gorgeous. And I just remember staring into her eyes during the contractions and locking in and then out again. And I do also remember those really cute little like pooper scoopers in the bath.
Yeah. Like little, you know, fish tank nets.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Literally, I would like kind of like look over and see like a scoop and I'd be like, I'm not even,
I don't want to know. No, I don't want to know.
I originally didn't want medical intervention, probably because my mom didn't have it, you know, but also being a dancer and a yogi, like I want to be able to move around.
Yeah. Right.
And I just, that, you know, wisdom within all the stories of Ida Mae. But believe it or not, during my transition, I got out of the tub, went to the bed and laid flat on my back.
Really?
That's crazy.
I know. Isn't that wild? And she, so I was pregnant with my first daughter and, she came out within like 4 or 5 pushes. I mean, it was probably like 45 minutes,
right?
Maybe an hour. But I remember thinking like everybody says pushing is like the best part because you feel like you get to do something. So I had this thought of like, here we go.
Yeah.
And I do not agree with that sentiment. Like, like my animal, like primordial curse words, like shouting guttural happened. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. Definitely.
I just remember after the birth, kind of thinking back and going like, hey, what was up with that misleading?
It's true though. If you don't see other people giving birth who experience that same sort of reaction to the pushing stage, you would never know that that's what happens. And it's the majority of people, if you're unmedicated, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And it can be a little shocking the first time you see it, let alone if it's the first time and you're the one experiencing it.
Yes. And I doulaed a birth a couple months ago who she went unmedicated till about 7-8 centimeters. And then she was ready and, you know, it was kind of always an option for her. So she got her epidural. And I remember that was the first time I'd ever seen pushing with an epidural. And I was like, that is lovely. Wow. It's time again. Let me harness all of my power and press down and exert. I mean, not to take anything away from it. I know how much hard work it is, but just like the difference between like, I am a caged leopard needing to like bust out of here versus like, it's okay. I'll push again. I kind of feel it coming, you know?
Right, right. Night and day different.
Absolutely.
So with this birth, it sounds like you were, again, very natural-based. Did you have any instances where, either with the nurses or maybe anybody else in the team that wasn't your midwife, that you felt like you maybe had to advocate for what you wanted a little bit? It sounds like you were in the tub for a really long time.
Yeah.
Was that an issue or?
No, not really. I mean, my midwife, it was a midwife group at the time, and, you know, Jenda has a partner now, but what I've seen between midwifery care and OB care is, you know, the nurses with OB care, the nurses really show up as your doula or, you know, coach, right? An advocate. With a midwife and a doula, I like literally didn't even perceive any, you know, with that birth, I did have a pretty clear birth plan, you know, written out and all the copies and, you know, handed them out. But I didn't feel like I needed to advocate during that birth. That one, you know, and I don't, because when we get into the next birth story, when that comes to pass, like the next birth was at a newer hospital with a lot of really young nurses.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my first birth was at Methodist with maybe nurses who kind of had been there, done that.
Yeah.
And my second birth, you know, God bless them. They were amazing and lovely. But I do remember like kind of looking over and seeing these two girls that were like
deer in the headlights. Yeah.
Nebraska, dirt road, deer going like, what are you doing at this time of day driving down?
Right.
And so I didn't have to advocate my second birth either, really, but it was definitely a different energy of the first birth where it felt like I was in that cave, even though I was in a hospital, even though, you know, it was very, very, it felt unobserved and undisturbed for sure.
Wonderful. How did your recovery go after your first birth? How was, you know, immediate postpartum and all that comes with it?
My first kiddo nursed like a champ, like immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, probably like 30 minutes, right? Like of a latch and a nurse, you know, mm-hmm. right away. And I think my Aunt Sarah was like, let's just give her a break. You know, there's, I mean, I didn't know. I was like, okay.
Right.
Very, very easy. I had a first degree tear. I had like one tiny stitch, which obviously it did, you know, I didn't really even know what was happening at the time, but, stayed in the hospital for a couple days. I think maybe the second night, cause she ended up being born at 3 a.m., 2:59. So I was really only in the hospital laboring from midnight till 3.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which, you know, I look back and I'm like, it was so quick, but really I probably did start having rushes around like dinner time, you know? So looking back, it probably was kind of more like that classic 8-9 hours, but really I was only at the hospital for 3. So I think the second night I, you know, sent her to the nursery, but I was just in love land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
those endorphins were flowing.
Gosh. And I had, struggled a lot with, mental health as a high school and early college, student kiddo. And I just remember when, like the first morning, so she was born at 3, you know, we finally got into like our recovery room at like 5-ish, you know, or what have you. And I remember the birds were starting to sing and the sun was coming up. And before that, those two things would have given me a lot of anxiety because it would have meant that I hadn't slept and, you know, anxiety or insomnia had kept me up or other, you know, substance abuse, I mean, just what have you. And I remember the bird singing and the sun coming up and I just felt so at peace and in love and healed.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it was truly amazing. So, you know, spent a couple of days in the hospital and then went home to our apartment and tried to do a little too much too soon. And my stitch came out.
Oh no.
Yeah. And so I remember I went, you know, to see, it was really painful, especially to pee, urinate, and like in the burning way, not like I couldn't do it or I couldn't poop or something, but like it was burning. And I just kind of knew, or I talked to my Aunt Sarah when she stopped by a couple days later and she was like, you know what? I really think you should go and see your midwife and just have her check it out. So my stitch had come out, so she had to like re-anesthetize and re-stitch that area. Yeah.
Oh.
And I, you know, I didn't know, and we were young, and my partner was not, you know, what I needed at that time. And also I learned through that pain and through that like overexertion how important community support and care is, you know, and just the importance of the mom, the birthing body, really advocating for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, please stop me if I'm rambling, but I think that women are really scared of postpartum because of what they're quote unquote giving up. You know, I'm not working for 6 weeks, or I can't, you know, move my body for 6 weeks, or I'm going to be at home and I don't know what to, you know. And it's like, how can we as a birth community beyond our audience, right? Because like you're both nodding, like, you know what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People who are listening probably, but how can we like reach beyond our birth community and go, this is a part of your pregnancy. This fourth trimester means that your pregnancy isn't over yet. It's still happening. We're healing and it's sacred. And it's time for you to explore this wisdom and intuition and connection. Like, something really special is going on in your body when you can stare at a baby for 7 hours at a time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, that is so magical and powerful. And so how can we start to look at that postpartum period, the fourth trimester, as something as magical and powerful and special as the entire pregnancy, you know, without kind of going like, and now you're on your own, see you at your 6 week checkup,
yes,
and you're a whole new person, you know, like, how can we start to change that?
Now, looking back, what would you tell your younger self? What, you know, what do you wish you would have said or done to indicate to your support network, your family, your friends, your needs better? What would you have done differently?
At that time, I would have said, like, hey, to my, I have a huge family. So I would have said, like, hey, Aunt Kathy, I need you here on Tuesday from, you know, 3 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Concrete thing.
Yes. Like, can you plan on making dinner for us on Friday? Hey, I don't know how to bathe this baby.
Right.
Literally. I don't, like, what do I, how do I do it? Do I put her in, you know, like, all of those things, because at the hospital, they're like, you don't need to submerge them in water, but you do need to bathe them right away, you know, and it's like, okay, wait, what? How, you know, and I was so young, and the internet was not like it is now, so you couldn't just, but I think to clearly answer your question, it would have been, no stuffed animals, please. We don't need any more stuffed animals here.
Right, no.
Yes, I need food, and I actually also need you to just, like, show up and, you know, clean something or show up and do a load of laundry, you know, and really being direct about those needs, because I think that actually ends up helping the people who show up anyway.
Yes, agreed, agreed. I think a lot of people want to be helpful. They just don't know how. So if we can help direct them, whether it's from, you know, the family themselves asking for help, or if just as a community, we can advocate that these are things that postpartum families need. Here's what you can do without even asking, you know, bring that meal, buy them an Uber Eats gift card, like,
right. Exactly.
Simple things.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I think that it needs to be normalized to any visitor that comes. You don't come empty-handed. Like you said, that doesn't mean a stuffed animal. That means you either bring food, you bring a service. If yeah. you can do the laundry, if you can do the dishes, mm-hmm. if you can just give mom a moment to nap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
and
know?
Verbally say, you know, knowing that this mom feels safe with this person, but like this person would say, I'm going to hold your baby for 20 minutes and I want you to go in the other room, lay mm-hmm. down, close your eyes, surf Instagram, wash your face, brush your teeth, whatever you want to do. But like,
it's not saying much. Yeah.
And, you know, and like, let's get away from like, how's she sleeping?
Oh my God. Yes.
And do you have a good baby? Oh my God. You know, like, let's actually, again, return to that idea from pregnancy where you get, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling today? Or how are you feeling today? How are you feeling today? You know,
yeah, right.
Like, those questions actually need to come in the fourth trimester, in postpartum, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've recently discovered some really promising research that has been happening where doctors and midwives have partnered up and realized that this fourth trimester is just as important as the rest of the pregnancy.
Mm.
So they are looking at research to reinstitute weekly or, you know, bi-monthly appointments, prenatal or postnatal appointments,
mm-hmm.
checking in with the mom, doing home visits, things like that, because it is so important. To, you know, the mom isn't just the vessel that delivers this miracle. She's also a person just like she was 9 months ago. So I think that that's also, that's really exciting that I've read recently.
Oh, I can't wait to learn about that more. That's so great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story. This was incredible. What a fantastic story you had, man. Yeah, you talk a lot about intuition, and you're right. I mean, you really did have to
listen to your body and, you know, you kind of guided yourself through all of that. I think a lot of people can relate in the respect that a lot of times with first pregnancies, we don't know what we're doing. We're just winging it and hoping for the best. But not to underestimate listening to your intuition and, you know, following those cues that your body and mind are giving you. I think your story is a prime example of that. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. Our next episode, Mary Claire will join us once again and share her second empowered birth experience. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe.